views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, too, so you can listen to us on your phone, iPads, computers, what have you, your Apple Watch. Good morning. It's the 28th of September, 7:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And today, Tyler is our producer.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have the weather?
Hey, you know what? I can get that up for you right now.
Okay.
Let's see. Here we go.
Susie should have told you got to have the weather for
us. Well, it's 85 degrees today for a high.
Okay.
And we got 56 for a low. Tomorrow morning, 78 degrees for a high, 57 for a low. And into Saturday, 73 and 56 for a low.
Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be a nice weekend.
It's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah. And weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Family-owned business out of Anderson. Of course, locally owned, locally operated. And they give discounts for seniors and veterans. And did I say they were a veteran-owned business? Well, they are. They have other payment plans, too. All the gas comes out of one or two big tanks down, south of Sacramento. So it all comes down to personal service and customer service. And they have outstanding customer service. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. Now, my usual host mate, Trish, is not here today, which makes me sad. But she's got a good reason for being gone, and so she'll be back next week. In fact, you may hear her a couple of times next week. So things are going on. This is at 8 o'clock. We got Matt Plummer coming in, who's running for District 5 supervisor against Patrick Jones. He's been putting some effort out now, and I really don't know him. I've talked to him on the phone. So it'll be interesting to find out what his plans would be if he unseated Patrick Jones. So we're supposed to get together, my kids and us, next week. And my son texted me last night and said, "If the budget isn't approved and they do a shutdown, a lockdown of the government, he can't come. His leave is canceled." And I thought about that for a second. I thought, "Why would that be?" But then I realized is that he's just been appointed chief of the New Mexico State Marshal's Office. And so the leadership there would probably, have to fill in for the deputies because they all go home, if you can imagine this. And that's interesting. We have to shut down. The essential parts of the government stay open. And I would think it would be all of the law enforcement, which to me seems like an essential part. But I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, and I'll give him a call. But there is just, one of the things that happens if the Republicans and Democrats can't get together and figure a way to keep the government open. On the other hand, ta-da, if it shut down, that means less damage they can do. So it'd be nice if the California legislature was like Texas, only met every other year. Because of the things they passed. Now, tonight on Man Up with Ted Leidy and myself there, I think Perry's up in Saskatchewan hunting. Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California is going to join us. So we're going to discuss all of these new laws and the impact they have on, on citizens, on law-abiding citizens, citizens with no felonies, citizens that would like to protect themselves in this craziness of lawlessness that's going on in your other cities. I mean, we have our problems here, but nothing like they have in San Francisco, Oakland, and all these, and other places, where the governor just signed a bill, SB 2, that essentially takes away your rights to carry a concealed firearm. And we're going to discuss that tonight. the Biden, they're outlining the tenets for the first impeachment inquiry against Joe Biden. And the there's fueled by allegations that President Joe Biden has financially benefited from his family's foreign business holdings. Now, this isn't just him. I mean, you could say, well, he didn't get any money directly, but did his son, did his brother, did other members of the family get money due to Joe Biden's actions? Well, guess what? Under the law, then he is as guilty as they are on this, even though they say, well, you can't prove it. Well, I can prove it went to them because of your connections and because Vice President Biden leaned in and got contracts, got, you know, they were given because of him having lunch with somebody, him making phone calls to somebody. See, the money, don't forget this, the money doesn't have to go to him direct. It can be anybody in his family that he, you know, that benefits. And we're pretty sure that Hunter Biden is a sleaze from the word go. Pretty sure.
I don't know.
You know, he lied. You know, he lied about getting a gun. But there's other things, too. You know, when they, okay, we've investigated him and we've got a plea deal, and you find out that it meant amnesty for everything he ever did. And why the prosecutors that found that were found out by a news agency who said, well, wait a minute here. That means he has amnesty for everything. But the judge figured it out too. He says, you know, I'm not gonna accept this deal. So they have to go back, and now he's pleaded not guilty, and now he's suing people. Oh, you let loose the contents of my computer. Well, no. The guy that owned your computer, and when you didn't come back and you tried to reach out to you so many times, that computer becomes his. And so he can do anything with it he wants.
Left it in his care, man.
Yeah. Now, they've got three witnesses for the Wednesday hearing, which was yesterday, a forensic accountant and former assistant attorney general and legal scholar. They also vowed to subpoena Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's brother, James Biden's, bank records as early as this week. Yeah, so we'll keep following that. Let's take a quick break because I want to come back and talk about the debate last night. Did anybody subject themselves to watching this?
I am going to watch the highlights, but no, I did
no,
not.
No, I can't. I can't watch straight through.
No, me neither. Highlights.
No, I mean, there was the one that I saw when I think it was Mitt Romney was running against Obama, and you know, for the second in the second term, and Mitt Romney had him on the ropes because he was talking about something that he refused to call something terrorism that killed Americans, and he had Obama on the ropes and was pummeling him. When the moderator stepped in and literally saved Obama, and stopped him, said, "Oh no, he did say it." I mean, she became part of the debate, and things changed. Then it's like you're in a heavyweight championship fight. You got your guys on the ropes, and referee steps in and punches you in the kidney. You're kind of like, "Oh, well, wait a minute. I don't mind debating him, but I shouldn't have to debate you." I think at that point in my life, I'd have turned around if I was Mitt Romney and said, "You just interfered with this debate. You just became part of this debate, and you need to leave." I'll let people from the audience ask questions. And, you know, or you can call it off right now because you became part of the debate. You took his side. So, and of course, oh, well, no, she didn't. She just pointed out. Well, she did, because Obama couldn't answer.
I do believe that debate was on CNN, correct?
Yeah.
It was a CNN debate, yeah.
Yeah, it's a CNN. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Jewelry. Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive is the jewelry store of choice for our family. Why? Well, it's been in existence for about 30 years. Leonard Silverman started it, and then Rebecca and Henry bought it from him, and Rebecca used to work there. And it is just, it's locally owned, locally operated, and it's the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Why? They have a watch repairman. Nobody else has. You got a watch that breaks down. No matter where you take it to, it's going to end up on Hilltop Drive. They have a super selection of jewelry. Rebecca has good ideas. She said, oh, this is what I'm looking for, and she's going to find something for you. And their jewelry ranges from opon to specially designed pieces and everything in between. Located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, they're open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4.
You'd have to wait, but you could hear it on the AM radio. Yeah, you could hear the
Turtle Bay's Harvest in the Gardens is Saturday, October 7th, featuring a hay maze, animals, live music, a mini farmer's market, pumpkin painting, and more. Harvest in the Gardens, Saturday, October 7th. Tickets and info at turtlebay.org.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Turtle Bay's 17th annual fall plant sale is taking place Saturday, October 7th, featuring California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site for our region. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale, Saturday, October 7th. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Right as he walked out, don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town. Laughed and kissed his mom and said, you're Billy Joe's a man. I can shoot as quick and straight as anybody can. But I wouldn't shoot without a cause. I'd gun nobody down. But she cried again as he rolled away. Don't take your guns to town, son. Leave your guns at home, Bill. Don't take your guns to town.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio. Today may be Gunfighter Day. I'm not sure. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. Trish isn't here today, so you got me. 7:20 in the morning. Did I tell you that the news was brought to you by, at the top of the hour, is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassionate community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Okay, a subject that is near and dear to my heart, with all the world exploding and coming apart, the one that really torqued my jaws was the when Senator Schumer, who is the head of the Senate, cut out the funding for something so that there was no dress code in the floor of the Senate.
Fetterman, right?
Yeah. And Fetterman, who would dresses in hoodies and shorts and sandals, and he wouldn't come on the floor. He would just come to out of the cloakroom, which I guess is a big area down there with offices, and give his vote. Well, then Schumer said, "Nah, there's no dress code." So here he comes with his hoodie and his shorts and all that. And because they take turns, you know, presiding over the Senate, you know, when they're not during the meeting, but you know, when they do all these little speeches they give. He was there in a sports shirt and shorts. Well, the amount of ridicule the Senate got from there, I mean, everything I could think of was, what are you doing? Yeah, let's just lower those standards one more time. So Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia and Mitt Romney from Utah, bipartisan, put a bill up that was passed unanimously that requires that members abide by a dress code when on the Senate floor. Coat and tie and slacks for men. And the resolution does not detail dress codes for women members. And it says, you know, business attire, because women aren't stupid. You know, they wouldn't do that.
Good statement right there.
He said, though we've never had an official dress code, the events over the past week have made us all feel as though formalizing one is the right path forward. I deeply appreciate Senator Fetterman working with me to come to the agreement. Well, who cares what Fetterman says? It's, you know, when you've got the whole Senate says you got to wear a coat and tie. How hard is that? You're a senator of the United States. You do realize that. Well, maybe he doesn't realize he's a senator of the United States. Maybe he does. He gets a paycheck on a regular basis. And the Senate and the government shuts down, does the first people's paychecks that should be cut off is the House and the Senate right away. First thing that should happen, government shut down, your checks just stopped. Not that they really care about it, because, you know, like Melendez out of New Jersey, you've got $1 million in cash and gold bars in your safe anyway. He says it's because he's from Cuba. And the government seized the funds, and he wanted to make sure that he had money if the government ever seized funds of the people. Well, you're the one that's leading the charge on that one there, buddy. Anyway, Fetterman said, and he had he sent out a little meme and all those things. Many have referred it as the Fetterman rule, given Fetterman, who has routinely been seen around the Capitol building while wearing gym shorts and his trademark hoodie. We have a dress code here.
Oh, do we? I think we do. I think a little bit better than they do.
Well,
you know, apparently.
It was better than the Senate of the United States. I mean, it's not like, you know, a coat and tie or even anything close to that. But, you know, no nasty shirts, no dirty clothes, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's the way we do it.
They're in Washington, man. I feel like it should be going without said that they should, you know, dress
well,
nicely.
It should be, but, you know, this is the Senate of the United States, and you would think that there would be some kind of decorum there, but obviously not. One person can change it all by themselves. Anyway, so John Fetterman, and it'll be interesting. Will Fetterman start wearing a suit or a coat and tie to be in the Senate? Maybe he won't. Maybe you won't. So you didn't look at it. I didn't look at it. Now, at the debate, but, you know, if you hear opinions, biggest winner and loser on the debate, everybody's saying is that DeSantis, the winner of the evening was Governor Ron DeSantis, for whom expectations were low.
I think the winner is Trump. The fact that he didn't show up.
Well, he doesn't even show up.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to.
No.
And which is probably a good reason. He doesn't show up because, you know, if people know where he's at, he may be served again with a subpoena or something.
I'm glad they're being fair in indicting Biden, though.
The winner of the evening was Governor. They're saying Nikki Haley, who did really well in the last debate, didn't do as well. But, you know, again, I'm just telling you what people are saying. If you, what you need to do is, the danger of watching excerpts of it is you don't hear the whole thing.
Out of context.
And whoever's picking out the excerpts is, you know, they could say, oh, you know, I'm a Ron DeSantis fan, I'm going to make him sound good and all that. Anyway, but here's some of them, what they're saying, and I agree with this. It's time for some people to drop out of this. Doug Burgum. Perhaps Mike Pence, perhaps Chris Christie should drop out. And then that just leaves it open for the next debates to Tim Scott from South Carolina, whom I like a lot.
Ben Carson, is he still around in there? Is he? I'm asking you.
He hasn't been around for two election cycles.
I've still heard
about
him.
Just hang on and do your production stuff there. Vivek Ramaswamy was not as annoying in the first debate, but he has yet to show he wants ready to be president, this commentator makes. So it would be DeSantis, Haley, Ramaswamy, and Tim Scott. So, and the rest of them, they should just drop out. Now, the question is that Trump's never said he would support the candidate from the Republican Party that's going to run against Biden. The other question is we know that Trump has been indicted and he's got like four trials going on, and that what's that mean? You know, he can fight it off. If he can fight off, you know, having the beginnings of the trial start till after the primaries, and then he gets elected, he can't go to court, so everything is on hold, but he can't pardon himself either. So what do? Well, you have as a vice president somebody that when you hand it over to him in the third year, 6 months, that the whole agreement is, you pardon me. You pardon me after the at the end of the term. I mean, it just makes sense to me. But that would be part of the reasons I pick you, because you're going to pardon me. Now, it doesn't mean they have to. But, you know, of course, Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, and he said the nation doesn't need to go through this, since half the nation thinks these are the lawsuits against him, the charges against him are purely political. The other half doesn't. And so, but there's half the people in the United States, I would say, close to it, and maybe even more, that think these charges are purely political and to keep him from being president. And the way they're set up, the way they all came out at one time, you know, during the primaries, you know, you might want to think that. It seems like they could have, that they all come out at one time. I'm sure they never talked to each other and set it up that way. The prosecutors are all, in most cases, Democrats, and who have had and that their whole mission in life is to make sure Trump doesn't become president, in my opinion. Did he do something wrong? He may have. But the point is that you could have probably brought these charges a year ago. But it didn't work with their plan for the political spectrum. of the primaries come in, and hoping that they could keep him so preoccupied and maybe keep him in court he couldn't run in the primaries. But as it turns out, he doesn't have to. He doesn't even have to show up at debates. And he's still leading everybody by double digits. Okay, this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. Cornerstone Community Bank, locally, it's a local bank, local board of directors, locally owned. Started in Red Bluff, but as their main offices are right here in Redding, the main office is at the 192 Hartnell Avenue. In the Cornerstone Shopping Center. They have another branch on California Street, right down the street from us. One in Anderson, and of course the original one in Red Bluff on Riverside Way. We do business with Cornerstone Community Bank, very happy with them. And they've been moving local dreams forward since the day they opened, 16 years ago. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
You don't know how it feels.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Redding Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Attention veterans. Did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I listen, people, what I'm telling you. I keep away from a run around to
Good music, buddy. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott. And I would say Trish Clark, except Trish isn't here today. She'll be back next week. In fact, she's going to be on Thursday and Friday next week. We're taking a little, we're going to be working around the house a lot. So anyway, this portion of the show brought to you by NorCal Tractor and Equipment for all your Kubota needs. You know, I love this place. The young couple that run it are just really fine people. They're involved with Toys for Tots and so many other, support. 501s and, nonprofits. But they also have a heck of a company. Started in Redding, and they literally outgrew the spaces there and built their new facility down in Anderson at 2540 Gateway Drive. They've got it all from large to small, from your backyard tractor to your, big job tractors, skid steers, side-by-sides, backhoes, they have it. You can rent it by the day, lease it by the month, or just buy them, which is cool. That's NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You can reach them at 530-221-6800. Okay. Now let's move to the Board of Supervisors. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not sure exactly what the mosquito abatement group does. I assume they have something to do with spring mosquitoes and things like that. And somehow it became contentious. Now, they didn't have to shut down the meeting or eject anybody Tuesday, so that's a step forward. And so he was the majority decided to appoint John Knight to the Shasta Mosquito and Vector Control District Board. And John White owns a hydroponics store in Redding and co-founder of Red, White, and Blueprint. And he was elected or appointed to the board on a 3-2 vote from Kevin Cry, Chris Kellstrom, and Patrick Jones. Tim Garman and Mary Rickard voted no. Now, Garman said he couldn't vote for anyone without first seeing the applications of the other three people who applied. And Rickard, too, wanted to see the three applications, but she also said retired Shasta County Health and Human Services Director Donnell Ewart, an epidemiologist, was a better choice. That's somebody that studies diseases. The other two applicants were Rick Russell and Dwayne Little. Ewart, who retired in February 2022, was the only applicant when the appointment came to the Shasta Board of Supervisors on August, but Ewart's support of the COVID-19 seems to have worked against him. At that meeting, they decided not to appoint him and asked for more applications. Well, more came in. Jones said that Ewart had mishandled the county's home key program, which converts commercial and residential buildings into permanent or interim housing for the homeless. So, again, so it got into a 3-2 again. But Garman said, I would just like to see who else applied and look at their resumes, but they chose not to do that. I found something that Mr. Knight told the supervisors. He was asked to voluntarily serve on the mosquito board, and he wants to serve his community and has researched mosquitoes. Well, that's what the YouTube's for. He also said experience selling garden supplies and pesticides for nearly 20 years qualifies him for the job. He says he knows a lot about mosquitoes and some of those Bill Gates programs. So I had to look that up. What are the Bill Gates programs? He warned about the Japanese weaponizing mosquitoes that can act like flying syringes that would have the ability to mass vaccinate the population. The Bill Gates Foundation supports research to fight malaria and has founded a company that genetically modifies mosquitoes, which has the internet blowing up about this because, just like Knight said, well, they can have everybody inoculated through mosquito bites. But according to an article, the genetically modified mosquitoes are all male and therefore don't bite. It's just females that suck blood out of you. Did you know that?
I did not know
that. Yeah, it's just the females.
Well, that makes
the males are there for one reason.
Exactly,
okay?
Just same reason.
One reason to make females, just like worker bees and drones. Drones are there for one reason, to protect the queen and mate with her, and after they mate with her, they die. I mean, it's like a praying mantis, you know, the female, you know, and after they finish mating, she turns around and bites his head off. I mean, if you knew that the second that you finished, your head was going to be cut off, I would think that would be just another form of birth control out there. Anyway, social media implied that Gates-funded research involving genetically modified mosquitoes are linked to U.S. malaria cases, though they offer no evidence. Okay.
I think it's funny.
I'm not making it up. I just kind of like Will Rogers. I just read what's in the newspapers. Okay, then the supervisors voted to oppose health mandates, and people, you know, so the paper poo-pooed it. There's no state or federal mandates, blah blah blah. It doesn't mean they can't do it again. And the thing is, they voted 4-1 to adopt a resolution to oppose any overreaching government mandates related to COVID-19 or other health pandemics which impact individual liberties. That was 4-1, and Rickert voted no on that. And this is largely a symbolic vote or a position to take. But after what you saw what happened in COVID, which we are still paying for this government shutdown of businesses and picking winners and losers, which they did, this is, you know, it's basically symbolic. But I think the government, God help us, if a real pandemic, I mean a killer, came in. Because nobody trusts the government now. Oh, you have to shut down, you have to wear a mask, you have to stay home and all that. People aren't going to believe them, because of the huge mistakes they made in the last one. I got vaccinated. Linda got vaccinated. You know, we did that. But then, and then somehow we're what was the word they used? Essential. We were an essential business, but La Cabana, right across the street, wasn't. The tattoo place down the street was, and the cannabis place was. You know, but the which medicine?
Oh yeah.
The bottom line on that is that people, I hope, learned something. The things we did to the schools, and we shutting down schools, and the impact it's had on that. The overdose deaths that broke the new records because, you know, during this time frame, and I would tell you that the lockdown had a lot to do with that. Anyway, so now. I haven't seen them, critics of the ordinance said the resolution is a stunt. That's all it is. Nobody in Shasta County was forced to be vaccinated, period. So, the resolution is toothless, says, Christian Gardiner. So it has no bearing, but it isn't. It's symbolic in the sense that there's no shutdowns going on, but it's also a line drawn. This is, we're not going to play your games this year, this time, if it comes back. And you can't predict the government, what they're going to do for your own good. They're taking away kids from families because of they don't want families to know if their kid's going through a major mental health crisis and wanting to change their sex, and yet they don't want the parents to know about it. Not because the parents have done anything wrong, it's the fact that they may do something wrong. And the government has, when we said we didn't want a wind farm out here, overstepped and said, hey, guess what? We're going to tell you if you need a wind farm or if you want one. Or what about your housing? You know, you've got your rules and regulations and your city planning, but so what? We don't care. People can build anything they want, anywhere they want, practically. It's the government doing this. And tonight on Man Up, you're going to hear what the government is doing on your right to just possess a firearm, and how they're making it harder for you to have a firearm and making it really, you know, more difficult to get your concealed carry license. That some people say, that's right. That's right. How can you do that? If they told you that you could not congregate on a street corner to because it was within 1,000 feet of a school and speak your mind and have a, you know, have a public meeting, and it's illegal to do that. Well, that's what they said about firearms. You can't be within 1,000 feet of a school on a sidewalk.
What?
And carry a firearm, even if you were legally certified to do that. That's just one of the rules.
Overstepping.
They overstepped probably 5 years ago. Now it is they want possession of your souls. This portion of the show brought to you by PSA 2 Area Owned Agency. It's concerns the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program. Now, I know people that have called them up and gotten some help from them. And what they do is they come out to your house and they look at your house and how can they make it safer? You know, grab rails, railings on steps, the grab rails in the showers and bathtubs, other things. And the whole mission behind this is to prevent serious falls from the older adults and people with disabilities. It doesn't cost the people in the program anything. Nope. For more information, if you want to find out about it, give them a call. 530-842-1687. The PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging. We'll be right back.
When you make me cry, you say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, you give me all your love and your deferred love, all your hugs and kisses and your money too. Well, you know you love me, baby. Still, you tell me, baby.
What's more disappointing than wanting a fresh cup of coffee and ending up purchasing the bottom of the pot? At Kent's Weekly Groceries, they've solved that problem with their new bean-to-cup freshly brewed coffee. Hot or cold, any time of the day. It's freshly ground and brewed on demand to your preference. Just one of the many specialty items available every day at Kent's Meats and Kathy's Deli, where you'll find USDA choice meats, fresh produce, snack sticks, sandwiches, salads, side dishes, and so much more every day of the week. Served up with old-fashioned friendly service second to none. At Kent's Meats and Grocery in Kathy's Deli, open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week, 1 mile south of the Reading Airport.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
now at Black Bear Diner. Enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen everyday buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak. The savory tri-tip benedict. The hot honey crispy chicken. The colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
Hey NorCal, Preston Sharp here. I believe we should honor veterans every day, and I've honored veterans in all 50 states, but I'm not done. I want to honor veterans in Normandy next year on the 80th anniversary of D-Day, but I need your help. I'm having a fundraising dinner September 30th at the Anderson VFW. I'm hoping to sell tickets and gather raffle prizes. If you can help, please go to PrestonSharp.net. I hope to see you there. Doors open at 4, dinner at 6. There will be gun giveaways, live auction, and games. That's PrestonSharp.net or call 530-515-3825.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio, the call bot. Trish is not joining me today. She'll be back next week for a couple of days, so you'll get your full dose of Trish. Good morning, everybody. 7:50 in the morning. It's on the 28th of September, and it's about 60 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law for workers' comp. He's got the largest workers' compensation office north of Sacramento. He worked for the insurance companies for a couple years and realized that was not what he wanted to do, so he opened up his own business, and he's just doing gangbusters on that one because he believes in protecting your rights as a worker who's been injured on the job. Employers, for the most part, the vast majority of employers want their employees back. They want them back in their jobs, and sometimes, though, there's delays or denials, and that's when you call Patrick at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. You know, he's a battler, he's a veteran, he's a former law enforcement officer, and now he's using his knowledge and his ability to get the job done to fight for you. 530-262-2168, free consultation. Philadelphia's had 2 nights of riots where the flash mobs organized come in and they have cleaned out Foot Locker and, you know, busted into many stores, Foot Locker, Lulu's, is that right?
Lululemon's, yep.
Yep, that's it. The police arrested 49 adults and 3 juveniles, but like I said, it's been going on for 2 nights. And this Pennsylvania has state-owned alcohol stores, ABCs, and they have shut down every one of them after 18 liquor stores were broken into and just absolutely cleaned out. So they've closed the 48 that they have in the Philadelphia area for the foreseeable future. Only, and I would say it's only in Philadelphia, but that's not true. I guess when I see these things happening and you wonder what's going on there, why is this happening? And in this case, a judge dismissed charges against a white police officer who killed a black driver that had tried to run him down. And the evidence was clear, and had all the cameras and videos, and yet the riot started. And it's been going on for 2 days. So the newest laws, and I just want to touch on them just a little bit. We'll get into them a lot more with a lot more information tonight at 6 p.m. on the Man Up Show. And I probably will do another time next week if I can run it in, get it in with Sam Paredes for the morning show about all these new laws that the state of California passed. SB 2, Senate Bill 2, really, really impacts on citizens who have concealed carry or want to get your concealed carry. It has no impact on felons. And then raising your taxes on guns and ammo by 11%. Oh, we're going to use it to fight for safety on the streets. Okay. How about just taking a couple hundred million out of the train from nowhere that's still going nowhere and putting that in there? You're hearing things like we want to put an armed law enforcement into every school. Well, I'm all for that. That's been touted for years. I think the NRA was saying that. So we want to do that. To me, it sounds like it's a good idea. How about hardening the schools a little bit so it's not so easy for somebody to walk in? But having trained armed security at a school, unfortunately, we've come to the point where it's probably a good idea. And you can't say that's just a large city problem because it's not. It's not. We've not heard of one lately. Maybe because there have been measures taken, but the 11% tax, guns are already being taxed at 10 or 11% already, guns and ammo, and the money goes into a national fund that supports the hunting and fishing programs, which leads to the second part of this. And remember, we talked about where Biden's Department of Education cut off all the funding to shooting sports and archery programs in all the schools in the United States. It touched on thousands of schools and millions of students. They just cut it off. Said, nope, you can't do that. Well, the House of Representatives just passed unanimously, except for one vote, the ability to put that money back into the programs. That means over 200 Democrats, all the Republicans, and one Democrat out of Texas voted no. So it was at 400 and something to one. So cutting off the funds for those programs had a huge impact on a lot of kids and made no sense. I don't think there's been anything out there that shows that a kid on a trap squad has taken his shotgun and gone out and blasted away, or an archer has been letting arrows fly at her fellow students. I mean, you're not seeing that out of this group. And yet, this is another thing the Biden administration wants to do. Making Kamala Harris the head of the gun violence groups, the czar, you might say, the same one who was the czar of the border. And we're going to have a show. I'm going to have it sooner than later. We're going to talk about the impact of this unbridled stampede across the border and get a couple experts in here. But take a look at it. You know, my question is, when I talked to my son, he said, you know, we had like 11,000 go across this one town. And this was last week. One day, one town, 11,000 came across. Where are they going to? Are we seeing any of them being transported into Reading? How would we know? I mean, I would imagine the city fathers would know. I imagine the board of supervisors would know, but would they? Are there volunteer organizations out there that says, yeah, send us a busload. We can take care of that. Are they? I'd like to know about that. But where are all these people going? I mean, we're talking millions now. We're not talking few thousand. We're talking millions have come across the border under the Biden administration, and they're acting like it's okay. No, we're arresting more. No, you may be arresting more, but there's so many more coming across because of your policies, and you're not getting them. And then what happens after they get their little piece of paper and walk off? How many of them are showing up? Let's just say 50% of them are showing up. So, you know, a couple million showing up for court, a couple million not. And where are they staying? Where are they living? Are they using our social services? Are they using our hospitals? Are they going to our schools? Are they getting free medical care? Are they getting, like I said, free schools? I mean, there is nothing out there showing you the overall impact, and you know that the government could do that if they chose to do it, but they don't. I just, of all the things that I see out there, and people are mad about this, why hasn't there been a just a major, major storm over illegal immigration? Even the mayor of New York and the governor of New York says, we're overrun. We're overrun. Please, go someplace else. Well, okay, we're going to take a break from the news. We come back. We got Matt Plummer, who's running for a District 5 supervisor. We'll talk about what his plans are if he gets elected, and we'll learn about Matt Plummer.
President Biden and threaten our national security. They demand safeguards to be put in place to prevent public officials from selling access to their public office for private gain.
Today, lawmakers are hearing testimony from outside experts in tax law, criminal investigations, and constitutional legal theory. The GOP presidential candidates are taking stock of their performance in last night's second Republican primary debate of the 2024 campaign cycle. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports from the Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California.
Early in the two-hour debate on Fox Business, GOP hopefuls, including Mike Pence and Ron DeSantis, were united in their criticism of the president.
Bidenomics has failed.
Where's Joe Biden? He's completely missing in action from leadership.
Then there was bickering between Republicans, including Nikki Haley versus Vivek Ramaswamy.
Honestly, every time I hear you, I feel a little bit dumber for what you say.
And Chris Christie was among some candidates who took a swing at Donald Trump.
Donald Trump hides behind the walls of his golf clubs and won't show up here to answer questions.
Greg Clugston at the GOP debate in Simi Valley, California.
And instead of going to the debate, former President Trump addressed some auto workers in suburban Detroit. After pleading not guilty to federal corruption charges, Democrat Senator Bob Menendez will address his Senate colleagues today. Number of people applying for unemployment rose a bit last week. The Labor Department says claims were up by 2,000 to 204,000. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Donald Trump's indictment proves that saving America is not going to be easy. There are entrenched powers that are fighting this with everything they've got. They want to keep control over the country, the narrative, and the nation's money supply. Hi, I'm Lance Wallnau. I'm a news analyst, a Christian author, an evangelical leader. I speak to millions of people every week, people just like you. You see, what the elites are doing is using inflation and government handouts and now central bank digital currencies to determine how they're going to control America. And that's why I recommend all Christians start a gold IRA from the Birch Gold Group. Because physical precious metals are one of the few ways you can maintain control over your own savings. To get a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and you'll see why a gold IRA can help you. There are no strings attached. Text the word FAITH to 989898, and you're going to be blessed by taking action right now.
Israel reopening a main border crossing with the Gaza Strip, allowing thousands of Palestinian laborers to enter the country for the first time since it was sealed last week. The crossing reopens after weeks of violent protests along Gaza's frontier with Israel, where demonstrators have thrown explosives and rocks and launched incendiary balloons that sparked fires. The protests have driven up tension, prompting Israel to launch airstrikes targeting military posts belonging to Hamas, which rules Gaza. A second powerful storm in less than a month has hammered parts of central Greece, sweeping away roads, shattering bridges, and flooding thousands of homes. The storm caused extensive flooding, leaving hundreds stranded in mountain villages. The fire service carried out multiple rescues and evacuations. Bad weather earlier this month struck the same area, killing 16 people, causing more than $2.3 billion in damage. News and analysis at townhall.com. Drive a Hyundai? How about a Kia? If so, yours may be one of the 3.4 million vehicles being recalled in the U.S.
Owners should park them outside due to the risk of engine compartment fires. The recalls cover multiple models from the 2010 through 2019 model years, including Hyundai's Santa Fe SUV and Kia's Sorento SUV. U.S. safety regulators say the anti-lock brake control module can leak fluid and cause an electrical short. That can touch off a fire while the vehicles are parked or being driven. Dealers will replace the anti-lock brake fuse at no cost to owners. Owners will be notified by mail in November. John Scott reporting.
In the House and in the Senate, work continues on emergency spending bills aimed at averting a partial government shutdown in just a few days. Nothing resolved as of yet, and the Saturday deadline fast approaching. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Our archives are on our website at KCNR1460.com. In case you've missed any of these fascinating shows, you can always go back to our website and look under Free Fire Radio and look at every show we've done from now until the day we started. Maybe not the day we started because nothing was working right that day, including us. They were still connecting wires underneath the table while we were trying to go on air. Good morning. It is the 28th of September, and Trish is usually here with me, yes, but Trish is taking this Thursday off, and she'll be back next week, Thursday and Friday. So you're going to get your full dose of Trish this month. 8:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Tyler's at the helm here, doing a good job, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
I do appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Well, you know.
It should be thanks, dude. You know, something like that. All right, be a little more laid back. Okay, you're too, you know, get into this. Sure, you know, I got it. You know, I mean, I know you are, which is what we love, aggressive, lots of initiative and all this, but deep breath. Okay.
I'm relaxed.
Yeah. You are for you. You're getting ready to have a baby. Tyler's
exactly.
Is getting ready to have a baby any minute. Not him, but his wife. But you were there at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course.
Well, you know, and don't get in the chat room. Don't write me emails about what I just said. I'm sorry. They're married. It's just, you know, male, female. Oh, okay. And we can get into that one too.
What?
X chromosomes, Y chromosomes. Let's just skip that part. But your wife's getting ready to launch here.
Absolutely.
Any time.
Another rocket into space, man.
And then Christina, one of our other producers, had a medical crisis. And I'm not going to talk about it, but she's off for a few days. Or a medical something. And so she's off for a few days. And then Liam, I think, went to Cuba. But no, I'm just kidding about that part. Anyway,
have fun down there.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks,
you got good music and all that, buddy. And also, Liam is going to be our announcer if he doesn't have more kids for a baseball this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Me neither.
Okay. So for the Colt 45s. Okay, so what's the weather look like? And give me 3 or 4 days.
All right, today.
And make it snappy.
All right, today's going to be 85 degrees, low 56, and tomorrow's going to be 78 for a high, 57 for a low. Saturday, 73 for a high, 56 for a low. And Sunday, beautiful Sunday, 76 degrees, 56 for a low, clear all 4 days.
There you go, buddy. Okay, thank you. And the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a local company, a family-owned company out of Anderson. They've just done a great job. They've been in the business a couple of decades. It's a better-known business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and they got other payment plans. Thoroughly, thoroughly recommend Shasta Gas Propane. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. Okay. A candidate has thrown his hat in the ring. I never could figure what that was out. I would think it's like there was a big circle. It wasn't hats. It was swords. Throw your sword in there and you hook and, you know, one who walks away. His name's Matt Plummer, and he's running District 5, I think.
District 4.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I totally blew that one. District 4.
They changed.
If it's not my district, do I really care? I can't vote. I don't, you know, anyway. District 4. Thank you for fixing me there. Against Patrick Jones, who's the current chairman of the board.
Right.
Who is Matt Plummer, first of all?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things to know about me, some personal, some professional. So personally, you know, I've been married for 15 years to my wife, who I met in fifth grade, started dating in high school.
You didn't marry her in fifth grade, though?
No, I waited a little bit. Actually, a long time.
Linda and I got married about 16 years ago.
So okay.
It was a good year.
Yeah, and we have three girls, which I like to say kind of is my lot in life. I grew up with two sisters and now have three girls, so I don't know, but
it's karma.
We've decided not to play that game of let's keep having kids until we have a boy, because we had a friend who ended up doing that, and it took them eight times to get to the boy. So,
You know what? And he's already damaged. I'm sorry. I mean, this kid could be a Nobel Prize winner, but he's been raised by seven sisters. Oh, my God. OMG. Yeah. Okay, go on.
So that's on the personal front. On the professional front, there's kind of three phases of my career. So, you know, right out of school, I worked for a industrial supply distributor. So think of like an Amazon, but for nuts, bolts, cranes, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And got to jump into a management position out in the warehouse and was, you know, a year and a half in managing a department of about 45 people. Learned a lot about what it looks like to manage people, to get an operation running well. But ultimately found that, you know, this was the height of the Great Recession, 2009. And so I'd walk back to my apartment and see all these tool and die shops, these little machine shops that were abandoned. The auto industry collapsed. I was in the Midwest at the time. And I was like, you know, what does the future of the economy look like? What is, you know, how do, you know, what is a city going to look like in this community? Going to look like in a few years? And so those were the things I wanted to think about. So I ended up leaving there to join a nonprofit where we went in to work with other nonprofits, help them figure out what are you doing that's effective? How do we grow that to meet the need? How do we structure your organization, find sustainable funding, measure your performance to know that's actually working? So did that for a number of years, including while I was here in Reading working remotely. And then I left there to start a company here. And you know, now I do corporate training. So I go into companies, nonprofits, government agencies, and train them on how to become more productive and efficient, how to use critical thinking to solve problems, and how to manage people. And so that's kind of that's what I'm doing now. That's my day job, so to speak. But a few years ago, and kind of the through line of a lot of these career changes was, what is the way to have the most impact on a community to help it move forward? That was why I joined the nonprofit. That's why I thought starting a company here where it could create careers that could become, you know, opportunities for people who lived here. And I increasingly saw that government and politics was having a significant influence on the communities around them, both from a policy standpoint, meaning, you know, we'd hear from Sacramento of, oh, we're spending this amount of money to fix this problem, but then the problem wouldn't get any better. And so from a policy standpoint and also from a cultural standpoint of seeing that the culture that was flowing down from leadership was actually eroding the social fabric of the community and kind of turning us against each other. So started working on campaigns a couple of years ago. Have worked on, I think at this point, about four or five campaigns/ballot initiatives. So mm-hmm. That's the quick rundown of my professional experience.
How'd you get to Reading? I said you were in the Midwest.
Yeah, we were in the Midwest, moved around a bit there and on the East Coast, and then came out here. We had been following Bethel for a long time and came out here both from the faith-based angle and also, you know, at the time, as I said, I was working at a nonprofit. And so we would go into communities and figure out how can we move this community forward. And we had heard that, you know, Bethel was you know, trying to, you know, serve the community. And I know that there's different opinions on whether they've been successful in that, but we were like,
they're pretty successful in the city council. You got three Bethel members, including one of their leadership. Julie Winters is one of the leaders of Bethel, are controlling the city council.
There is a majority now that is, you know, a bit of an anomaly if we look back over, you know, the last even 10 years, right, that right now. And that's going to be changing too, right? Julie's going off and, you know, another one of the, you know, Tanessa might be off if she ends up winning her election as well. And so it's certainly, yeah, and I appreciate the concern that people would have for that. But I think, you know, if you look at the broad set of boards and commissions in the community. There, I think somebody ran the numbers once, and it was about 2 to 3% of those positions are filled by Bethel attendees, versus, you know, in the city of Reading, at least about 10% of the city attends Bethel. So,
okay. So I've been following your emails that you send out. And let's just start with homelessness. You believe there's a plan to end homelessness, but we're going to talk about that after this break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash, my go-to place. You know, I don't have an hour to sit in line getting my car washed. I go to Quick and Clean Car Wash. I get the platinum. Yes, I do get the platinum, which cost me all of $14. And then when my truck comes out absolutely sparkling clean and there's a pleasant person at the end with a big fluffy clean towel to wipe off all the excess water, the family's owned that corner there for over 100 years. And you think about that. It's been everything. There's been car dealerships, service stations, and everything there. But now Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market and Eureka Way is my go-to place to get a car wash. If you buy 5 coupons, you get 1 free. You buy 10, you get 3 free. Only at Quick and Clean Car Wash. We'll be right back.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. 1 out of 5 falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would love to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
High school football action is back and broadcast live on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and online at KCNR1460.com. As teams hit the gridiron, now's the time to sponsor a high school football game or games, which includes 1 month of advertising, 4 30-second ads per day, Monday through Friday, between 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Your business promoted in and out of each commercial break during the game or games you sponsor, plus an interview during the morning show, and 3 30-second bonus ads on Saturdays and Sundays between 5 a.m. and 9 p.m. Don't miss the live interviews with coaches and players. We'll also discuss the rosters featuring backstories on the coaches, players, and teams. We'll throw in pre- and post-game announcements, along with play-by-play high school football action live on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and online at KCNR1460.com.
If you would like to sponsor a high school football game or games, call Sue McClain or Tyler Chapman at KCNR at 530-605-4565.
Mama cried, the one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild. My mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but mama tried, mama tried, mama tried.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Merle Haggard. First time I heard that song, I was in boot camp.
Wow.
Many, many years ago.
Oh, man.
And we have a week of, they call it mess and maintenance, right after you finish the rifle range. And everybody's assigned to different jobs, and I was assigned to the officers club somehow. And there was a jukebox in there. And, you know, we'd been under this very strict regime, as you can imagine. And we were in there cleaning, and, you know, they said, well, yeah, you can play the jukebox. Well, we didn't have any money. I mean, so that was kind of a moot point. But we got to drink chocolate milk. So
that
was a big thing. But somebody put that song on. It's the first time I heard it. It was in the officers club at Parris Island, South Carolina. So it's always had kind of a little spot in my heart. But if you're thinking about purchasing an electric vehicle, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. I'm here with Matt Palmer, who is running for 4th District supervisor position against Patrick Jones. And we've learned about it. He's, you know, come from the Midwest. He came out here to Reading because of Bethel. And you've got a homeless plan that you say in 2 to 4 years we can get our arms around homelessness. You want to explain that one?
Well, and the reason for my optimism is that we're seeing that happen across the country. So I think, you know, in California, it's easy to get discouraged because we see what's happening in San Francisco and Los Angeles and some of these cities, and we're like, well, there's no way we can get this under control here.
Well, I saw the some statistics that said homelessness in the United States is actually dropping, except in California, where it's grown 50%.
Right, exactly.
You've got to ask yourself why that is. But you think there's ways of handling this.
Well, and I think, you know, what makes California unique? One of the main things is that we're under the jurisdiction of a court that quick case that was made in Boise, right? And what did that say? It said you can't enforce a ban on public camping unless you have sufficient housing options to offer those who are living on the streets. And so, you know, in the last point in time count, which is our annual count of homeless, we found that only 63% of the beds that we have available to those who are homeless were being utilized. Now, that's one day in the year, so who knows how
accurate it is. I think it's like that most of the time. A lot of them refuse to go to the Good News Rescue Mission, even though for 30 days they can be housed without any type of religious training. But it's only for 30 days.
Right.
So
I think unless we get to a point where we can enforce a ban on public camping, I don't think we're going to be able to make sustainable progress on this. And so what do we need to do to meet that? Well, every year we count the homeless, you know, and they're, you know, what I would think is, what if we just get our housing options, the number of beds, one above that annual count, right? Because then we'd actually be able to enforce it. We take 6 to 9 months. We get Anderson PD, Reading PD, and the sheriff's office, and we say, okay, now for the next 6 to 9 months, we're going to consistently enforce this. We're going to go to those who are homeless. We're going to say, here are your 5 options or 6 options or whatever it might be, and we're going to move them into housing. And that will, and so, yeah, it's going to take some effort to get to the point where we have that number of beds, but we need to focus on that. We also need to change the conversation. A lot of the conversation in the homelessness space, and I've worked with nonprofits for a long time, is, okay, how many services do we provide? How much housing have we made available? We need to change that to focus on what is the number of people who are living on the streets and how do we get that down? And that's what we've seen work in other communities where they're focused on, they take a specific population, chronic homelessness, veteran homelessness, and they focus on that specific number. And every month they count it and they know each of the people by name and they work that list until that list goes down to zero or what they call functional zero, which is usually about 3 to 5 people.
But yet the problems we're having is a city, and the city is not enforcing the no camping. So the border,
right,
can the border supervisors do to force the city?
Well, I don't think we'd have to force the city. If the city isn't enforcing it, as is nobody in California, because the legal liability, right? Because Chico got sued. And so we need to meet the conditions of that court case, which means we need to get enough beds so that we are satisfied.
So where are these? What did you say the number was for the homeless at that point of count?
In Shasta County, it's, you know, the last count was around 1,200, 1,300.
Okay, so where are you going to find another 600 beds?
Right, and that's the key challenge. I was just talking with, you know, I've been talking with developers and talking with, you know, county staff, because it's not that we just need to focus on affordable housing, say, for example. We need to create more housing, and this is something you and I were talking about before the show, is that, you know, Butte County, which is just a bit bigger than us, issued 5 times the number of building permits that we did here in Shasta County last year. And that's been a consistent trend for a number of years here. And so we need to increase building overall. And so what I've been hearing is that right now, different groups are able to attract different funds for housing. So my current thought is let's pull together a group of cross agencies, nonprofits, and developers, and let's figure out where can we pool resources, where can we get creative to speed up the process of building of all types. I think we need all kinds of housing building. We need to be creative. You know, I think the micro shelters are part of the solution. It's going to take a while to get there, but I think in a couple of years we can see significant progress. The actual number of new houses, I think, is more in the neighborhood of 400 to 600 that you would need, 400 to 600 beds. And so if we focus on that number and prioritize that as this is our key goal, then I think we can see significant progress on that.
Would that look like a large building with a bunch of beds in it and bathroom facilities? Or are you talking about individual spots for them to live, for homeless to live?
I would say that we need a portfolio of approaches. So it's not just one thing. I mean, in terms of what's the cheapest right now, it's retrofitting or rehabbing, you know, an existing motel or that type of space. That is the cheapest way. You know, some of the numbers that we're seeing is that it's $700,000 to build a new unit. And so we have to be creative in that and use as many different approaches as possible. So, you know, I think micro shelters is one of the options. I think retrofitting hotels and motels is one of the options. You know, if we can build additional spaces, that's, you know, that'd be amazing as well. So I think we're going to need a portfolio of different options to get there.
Okay. Well, we really need affordable housing and workers' housing, working family housing. And it's like $275 a square foot an hour, $250 right. a square foot to build anything. And builders aren't going to do it unless they make money off it. So would the builders be compensated by the city and county to build these?
Yeah, for market rate housing, that's a challenge right now, and that's what the builders are saying is, you know, I need to sell it at $300, $320 per square foot in order to make a profit.
The average cost of a house in Redding, I think, is over $400 now.
Right.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and the fact is, and we do need the housing. We need the housing for our working class. We need affordable housing for those people that are working 2 jobs and, you know, want to have their own place. When you throw into that, into the mix, and I think it's a good idea, I mean, the only way you're going to solve homelessness is if there's homes.
Right.
Or places for them to go to. Would a tent city do that?
a tent city might be part of the solution, but it's not going to be the full solution. And you need to, like you said, and I think you were alluding to this earlier, you know, part, this is just step one, is getting them into housing. But then you can attach services, case management, and get them into treatment if they need it. You know, we know that about 30 to 40% are suffering from mental illness or addiction. And so we need to attach that to it. And so I think that could be part of a temporary solution. But what I'd say on the housing front is that, you know, we need to look at local regulations. So a lot of that's controlled at the state level in terms of CEQA and environmental rules, but we need to look at local regulations and look for ways that we can streamline it. The city of Reading has done some things around ADUs that is helping on that front, and come up with some creative solutions to reduce the time that it takes to build, which will reduce the cost to build as well.
The Chico, Butte County, issued 1,853 permits. Or permits for 1,853 units in 2022. In 2022, Shasta County, and of course Anderson, Redding, and City of Shasta Lake issued permits for 375 units. What's the difference with Butte County? What are they doing?
That's a good question. So I think part of that, to be fair, is driven by the Camp Fire. So the Camp Fire, during the Camp Fire, which happened in Paradise, you know, they lost a lot more structures than we did in the Carr Fire, relatively speaking. And so some of it's catching up with that. But what you see is that in 2019, both in Shasta County and Butte County, there was a significant increase in permits, which was related to both the camp and the Carr Fire. But then what happened is Butte County has stayed consistent at that level, whereas Shasta County has dropped back down to where we were roughly previous to that. And so I'm still working on figuring out, you know, how has Butte County been able to accelerate those permits? But that is the type of thing that, as a general approach, that we need to be looking at, is where are other counties in the state of California figuring out ways to address these challenges? It's the same thing with homelessness. In Kern County, Bakersfield, they've been able to get chronic homelessness down to essentially zero. And so we need to be finding these examples where other counties are figuring it out and then adapting them. Of course, it's not going to be 100% copy and paste here, but we can learn from those and see what we can do here.
I'm using Matt's figures here, so I'm going to assume that you got them from the from their statistics. This year, we've issued permits for 78 units. In 2023, 78. Butte County has issued 502. Now, part of it, like you said, is still from the campfire and all that, but still, that's several hundred more than we do in Shasta County. So is it a Shasta County permitting and planning that has the problem? Or what? I mean, they're working under the same rules, I would imagine, at least state rules as we are.
There are state rules. But, for example, I was talking with someone who has worked with the county, and they said, you know, we have a number of ideas for how we want to fix the code, but nobody's asked us our ideas. And so I think, you know, I don't want to point a finger at the resource management department and say, hey, you know, you guys are the source of the problem. I mean, that's the common. But I think, okay, how do we leverage that? How do we, these people are working it day in and day out. And if they have solutions for how we can fix the code, because yes, there is state law that is governing a lot of this, but it's implemented locally and there is some measure of local authority in terms of how that actually plays out. And so we need to be looking at that. We need to be talking with Butte County. We need to be talking with our own folks at the county level who are doing this day in and day out and seeing, okay, what is broken on your end, what it needs to be fixed, and prioritizing making those changes.
Okay. We're going to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. It's across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. It is a veteran-owned business. It's locally owned, locally operated, and I've never had a bad haircut there in like 15 years. They work by appointments at 530-244-9478. But if you walk in there and they got an opening, just you can get in and get your haircut. It's a great place. Man's Last Stronghold. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back.
Safe. Homeless, homeless, moonlight's if you wanna make night break. What's more disappointing than wanting a fresh cup of coffee and ending up purchasing the bottom of the pot? At Kent's Weekend Groceries, they've solved that problem with their new bean-to-cup freshly brewed coffee, hot or cold any time of the day. It's freshly ground and brewed on demand to your preference. Just one of the many specialty items available every day at Kent's Meats and Kathy's Deli, where you'll find USDA choice meats, fresh produce, snack sticks, sandwiches, salads, side dishes, and so much more every day of the week. Served up with old-fashioned friendly service second to none. At Kent's Meats and Grocery in Kathy's Deli, open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week, 1 mile south of the Reading Airport.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and that was my choice 19 years ago, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. 19 years and counting. Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they keep her online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hey, NorCal. Preston Sharp here. I believe we should honor veterans every day. And I've honored veterans in all 50 states, but I'm not done. I want to honor veterans in Normandy next year on the 80th anniversary of D-Day. But I need your help. I'm having a fundraising dinner September 30th at the Anderson VFW. I'm hoping to sell tickets and gather raffle prizes. If you can help, please go to PrestonSharp.net. I hope to see you there. Doors open at 4, dinner at 6. There will be gun giveaways, live auction, and games. That's PrestonSharp.net or call 530-515-3825.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at 8:36 in the morning on the 28th of September. Like 62 degrees out there, another beautiful day, no rain, cool. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Certified by the Joint Commission, it is an advanced primary stroke facility, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, one of the highest rated hospitals for their heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, lack of surgical complications or surgical safety, heart failure, stroke, and hip knee replacements. Shasta Regional Medical Center also has that new training program and brought in 13 new doctors into Shasta County, and they are working at the VA clinic, the Reading Rancheria clinics, and, of course, at the hospital itself. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. I'm here with Matt Plummer, who is running for 4th District Supervisor. We talked homelessness and building permits. And why does Butte County do 5 times as many as we do? That'd be interesting. How do you feel about the Second Amendment?
I think the Second Amendment is critical to the liberties that we get to enjoy as a community and as a nation. And I think, you know, what we're seeing in the state of California, and I think, you know, number one way to preserve that is to ensure that the next generation coming up has a value for that. And so I think we should be encouraging that next generation to participate in things like hunting or, you know, sport shooting and those types of activities so that they understand how to use guns, use weapons in a safe way, that they have an appropriate appreciation for it.
Would you support the, there's a thing going around, I don't think they voted on it yet, on making Shasta County a Second Amendment sanctuary county in open carry?
Well, I know that they passed a resolution at the board a few months ago around the Second Amendment,
mm-hmm.
Which I would have been supported. I think the sanctuary state there, we get into some questions around, you know, what are the legal implications of that if we're saying that, okay, we're going to be the arbiters of what is constitutional or not. I think the correct process for that is to take that to the courts, and we're seeing time and time again that the courts are standing on the side of the Second Amendment, even here in California, and overriding, you know, what the state is trying to do. Now, the state keeps pushing and adding new bills that they've already seen have been ruled unconstitutional.
SB 2 and many others, we'll be talking about that tonight on Man Up at 6 p.m.
Right.
With Sam Paredes will join us from the Gun Owners of California. So, Matt, you've got a number of things. I want to hit on them as quick as I can. But
sure.
if anybody's got a question for Matt, please give us a call, 605-4567. Ask the question. It's not a debate. Ask a question he can answer. That he can answer, attempt to answer. And then, but this is not to get into a, what's my favorite word, a pissing contest. Okay. Public safety is one of the things that you've brought up. The jail is closed. Or the third, I shouldn't say that.
The third floor
of the jail is closed. And Mike Johnson had a plan, which did not meet with a great response, as we know. But he's coming back next week. He made the announcement. He's got a plan to open up the third floor. Public safety and homelessness, or not homelessness, but public safety in the jail. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so I think
where does that fall?
No, that's top two, homelessness and crime. And they're interrelated, right? Because I think as a society, you know, and I know you were talking about some of this before earlier, but as a society, we have a fundamental problem around accountability and incentives. And what I mean by that is that we are allowing certain portions of the population to do whatever they want. And we're seeing that in the homelessness space. We're seeing that in people stealing, things from retail stores up to $950 without any consequences. We're seeing that at the border. I know you're talking about immigration earlier where
there is no immigration anymore. It's come across the border.
Right. And so we have a challenge around accountability. And so I think we need to shift that culture where we have accountability, and that's for low-level offenders. So I think, number one, we need to not just be giving them a citation, but moving them into what's called diversion programs so that we're increasing the consequences. We can't, you know, unless we reform Proposition 47 and 57, we're not going to be able to, you know, charge them with a felon and put them in jail, but we can increase the disincentives for committing those types of crimes by requiring them to engage in other activities, work-related programs. So I think that's number one. I think the sheriff's new plan, and I, you know, was able to hear a bit of it yesterday for opening the jail. I feel pretty confident that will be successful and that the jail, the third floor of the jail, will be open. And I know he's going to present it, I think, later this week.
I think he said. Oh, is he going to present it some other place?
I think he's going to do a public announcement on it. So I would say I feel pretty confident that that was going to be open. But we need to not just be thinking about the short-term fix, which is important. And if we didn't have a solution on the table, then I would say let's focus all there. But we also need to be thinking about how do we take the stress off the jail in terms of the numbers. And there we have a few things going on. One, I found this really interesting. If you look at in the jail, we have two groups of people. We have people who have been sentenced and people who are awaiting sentence. You know, when you think about what is the portion of those? Well, 2/3 of those in the jail are waiting to be sentenced when only 1/3 have actually been sentenced. And so we have this huge backlog of people who are waiting to be sentenced that are taking up all our jail space. And so, you know, I know that the and this is out of the control of the Board of Supervisors, but we can work collaboratively to help fix this. We had two judges missing, which now have been backfilled, but we need to fix that so that we're not having such, you know, so much of the space used up by people who are awaiting sentence that we can move people through more quickly.
Most of those people are in jails because they've skipped their trials many times and they get arrested. And that's the only way they can make sure they show up for trials. The jail has become a prison.
Right. Absolutely. And that, I mean, that's what happened.
Let's go to the phones. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Fine. You have a question for Matt?
Yeah. I know this might seem like something from out of left field, but what is this young man who's running for the Board of Supervisors in the next election got to say about the NIMBY crowd? Because I, being a longtime resident into this part of the world, I know that there's a lot of people who basically say NIMBY, not in my backyard. I'm just wondering, excuse me, if the appropriate agencies are ever going to show some guts and start using some eminent domain and putting these facilities for processing someplace where everybody knows where these people are at so that you don't have to worry about this kind of thing. Because, you know, I've seen people that basically shouldn't be breathing free air, and yet it seems like the law says that they got more civil rights to harass us law-abiding citizens than we've got a right to be left alone.
Okay. Thanks, Robert.
Do you
believe in eminent domain?
Well, what I would say is that, number one, when we think about, you know, building in Shasta County, we need to preserve our cultural roots here, preserve the type of community that we want. But we also need to be thinking about trade-offs, right? So we can't say, oh, we don't want the homelessness, you know, setting up camps in our backyards or on our walking trails, but not be willing to create some type of housing to accommodate them, right, and to put them into and move them out of. And so we need to think through the trade-offs there. And so I think we are going to have to make, you know, some hard decisions around putting, you know, some type of housing to move them into. And that will be near something, right? There's always going to be someone near that. And we try to make the best decisions around where that goes so that they can be connected to services and so that they aren't, you know, disrupting activity that's there and that is managed well, which is important because the new micro shelter facility down on South Market, from what I've heard from some of the people working with it, is that the community was very hesitant and rightfully so about that, but that they've actually found it to be, you know, pretty effective and not a problem. And so I think, you know, it certainly makes sense to be hesitant about those things, but we need to consider the trade-offs. Do we want them, you know, setting up camp anywhere, or do we want them in facilities that can help move them to a place of sufficiency?
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
If you are 50 years or older, come down to Wind River Resort and Casino for our Senior Day promotion every Wednesday. Check in at the River Club with your River Club card and play your favorite slot machine to receive 5x points from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. While you're in points, you can put your points back on your slot machine for more playtime or redeem your points for dining vouchers, gas vouchers, or a variety of other prizes. For more information, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Stillwater Powwow is back at the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through 8th, with free admission for all ages. See beautiful dancers, hear powerful drummers, and experience the celebration of Native American culture and history. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow and the Reading Rodeo Grounds, October 6th through the 8th. For information, visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potters, this station, and other proud sponsors.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, our last segment. I'm running out of time here, but this won't be the last time Matt Plummer comes on. Because we're going to have all the candidates on, as you know, as many times as they want to come on. Tomorrow night, or tomorrow, starting at 4:30 p.m. at the Country Bowl, they're having a bowl-a-thon sponsored by the District Attorney's Office to strike out domestic violence. All the money they raise goes into domestic violence programs and Camp Resilience and Camp Hope. So it starts tomorrow at 4:30. For more information, call Breonna at 530-245-6322. I'm here with Matt Plummer running for 4th District, and the phones are ringing off the hooks. So, but I've got to ask you this first, and then I'll get to Donna and then Ron. Is you said you can change the decorum of the supervisors' meetings. How are you going to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with if I were elected, how as a supervisor do I interact with the other supervisors? And I think unfortunately what we're seeing now, and it's not isolated to a single person, is that, you know, the supervisors look like they're often trying to take political cheap shots at each other. And that models the type of behavior that then the public...
That's all of them. That's just not some of them.
Right. No, and that's what
that's
I was
saying.
That's
all of them.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, right? You know, and often trying to score political points, either by making yourself look better or, you know, by trying to take someone else
down. By wearing a T-shirt that says Recall Cry.
Right. Well, I think, you know, and the number one thing I hear as I knock on doors is like, we just want the board to work together as a team to make progress on the challenges that, you know, we're seeing in the community. And so I think it starts with that, not trying to score political points, working together, finding a way to find common ground, even on issues that you disagree with, and trying
to control the idiots out in the audience that scream and yell and disrupt meetings.
Well, you don't control them. So I think, you know, but you can, first you model it, and then you encourage them of, here's what we want to hear from the community. I think that board meetings can be a really productive time for the public to come and to say, here are challenges that I'm facing with how the government is serving me as an individual. Here are ideas I have. And so calling that out, requesting that from the public, it's not going to change overnight, but if they see, oh, there's a different way of leadership and there's a different way of getting things done here, and then I can actually impact the way that the county does its work, then I think people, you know, it's you know, behavior change, which is what I do for my day job, is training people and companies, comes down to what are the incentives and disincentives. Right now, there appears to be an incentive to be kind of wild and crazy and to take political cheap shots during the board meeting. But if we can change that.
Do you support recalls?
I think that we as a community need to press pause on the recalls. We've had 5 or 6 in the last 3 years. I think that's a sign. You know, one recall here or there, once in a while probably is appropriate. But the fact that we've had so many, to me, suggests that
based on the way a person votes, not because of misfeasance in office.
Well, I mean, the thing legally about a recall is that you don't have, there's no,
There's no rules
about the reasons. And so, you know, what somebody thinks is warrants a recall, someone else thinks is not going to.
But we're going to have one. I mean, we're going to have an election here. Okay, let's go to the phones. Donna, you're first. Hello, Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for Mr. Plummer?
My question is the candidate pro-life or pro-abortion?
Okay.
I'm pro-life.
There you go. Thank you. Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning. They're trying to find affordable housing for these homeless people. They always get a free ride that we as taxpayers get kicked in the shins every time. Is there going to be any kind of a work program for these homeless people to get a free house or free room or whatever so they can kind of maybe clean the park or do something to reimburse us? And that's my question.
Okay, and Ron, just let me throw this out, that the mayor of San Francisco just said that before you get any benefits from the city, you got to take drug test.
That's a good thing, too.
Whoa, I can't believe that came from San Francisco, but she just announced it. Okay, Matt, you kind of address this.
Yeah, and this goes back to that there needs to be a system of accountability. And so it starts with, okay, you need to be accountable to not stay in the streets, but to take one of the housing options that are available. That's number one. Then once you get into housing, then, yeah, there needs to be accountability to access the services that will benefit you and that can move you through. So I totally agree that as a whole system, we need to ensure that there's accountability.
What do you do, say 75% of the people on the street, not everybody wants to be homeless. Everybody knows that.
Right.
And people that are trying to help themselves, this community is all for them. We got plenty of programs. What about that 200 or 250 hardcore that don't want to play? What do you do with them?
Well, that's where it comes back to enforcing a ban on public camping, right? And so if we can meet the legal requirements of that and then we can enforce that, you know what's going to happen is everywhere else in California is not enforcing that. And so a lot of those folks are just going to move on because they don't, you know, they know that they can get away with doing
it. Could we call it the anti-camping harassment squad? So you harass them until they leave?
No, you give them a choice. And right now we can't give them that choice, right, because we're worried about being sued. But if we meet the conditions of it, then we can give them that choice.
Should we worry about getting sued all the time?
Well, I think we've seen legal precedent for that, you know, a city being sued and having to pay a bunch of money in a way that perhaps they wouldn't have wanted to do it. And so I think in that case, I don't know that we should always be worried about being sued, but I think in this case,
we should be. We got a few minutes left, so this is quick. The county voted down the wind project up in Bernie, Round Mountain area. The state then passed a law that says we don't care, we'll put them where we want them. What could you do about that? I mean, it was 5-0 the Planning Commission, 4-1 the Board of Supervisors saying we do not want that there. How would you handle that?
Yeah, so I think we fundamentally need to change how we're interacting with the state. Right now, our current board tends to be like, okay, let's give the state the middle finger and then hope that they don't react in a way that actually creates the opposite of what they intended. I mean, that's what we're seeing with elections too. And so we need to build relationships with them. We need to, so that we have a measure of influence. We're not going to get them to do everything that we want and we're not going, but at least they're not trying to punish us. Right now I feel that the state is trying to punish us because of the way that we've interacted with them. And so on this specific one, I think one, we make an argument to them based on things that they value, and so the influence on the Native American populations, and the county has done that in this last letter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, two, we look for a way to get a measure of a win-win. Is there an alternative that we can propose to them that would satisfy them but also satisfy us as a county?
Okay. Are you for keeping the Reading Rodeo in its present location, or are you against it? It's a city thing, but
right.
The Board of Supervisors, you know, they play a part in this.
Well, I'm not sure the role that the Board of Supervisors would play.
Well, they can support it or oppose it.
I would say that the Reading Rodeo is very important. I would say because it's a city, you know, within the city jurisdiction, I haven't been.
Well, do you support keeping Reading Rodeo where it is?
Well, I guess what I'd say is I haven't looked in detail about that decision and the latest because that isn't within the jurisdiction of the county.
Okay.
Now,
that's a fair answer. But I'd sure like you to hear that you do support keeping something that's been there 75 years and not moving it.
Right. I think the rodeo is a critical cultural piece of this community and that it needs to remain that way.
So you would think it's a good idea keeping it there. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm not going to let you off this one.
Here's what I'd say. I'd say I want the rodeo to be successful. And
it is successful.
No, absolutely. I want it to continue to be successful. And if that means that it has to stay there, then we should, you know, allow that to be the case. If there are other ways for it to be successful that also allow the riverfront to be successful, then I would say let's consider those as well. But at the end of the day, I want the rodeo to continue to be successful. And so what does that look like? As I've said, I haven't studied those options closely.
We're running out of time. So why should people vote for you?
So I'm going to focus on the challenges we can all agree exist and work to make progress on those things that actually affect your day-to-day life. Things like the quality of our roads, things like whether there's, people stealing the cushions off of your front, you know, the chairs on your front porch.
Oh, yeah.
And which is, you know, that's what people tell me is happening. and so that's going to be my focus. I'm going to work together with anyone who is, you know, willing to make progress on those.